the Son of Man exalted. Do you follow it now? As God, he was always there. As man, he's exalted for his life, death, resurrection on earth. Do you see now? In that way, we can speak of the aspect we're talking about. The encouragement, the power given to the believer in them, it is to measure by the fact that God has taken human nature in Jesus. The Son of Man now is exalted. The encouragement, the power given to the believer in them, is to be measured by the fact that God has taken human nature in Jesus and has raised it in him and with him to the right hand of God. You see? So we now have the eternal God the Son was always there. He's in the Godhead. But he humbled himself and came on earth. And so this now, because of the glorious perfection of what all Christ did, is exalted with God, with God the Son, God the Father, with the Son of God, his godliness. The encouragement, the power given to the believer in them is to be measured by the fact that God has taken human nature in Jesus and has raised it in him and with him to the right hand of God through the incarnation. Now then, in Christ, human nature is raised to the heights, to the right hand. And so you get the rather friendly statement, although somebody attacked me once in one church for making this statement because they hadn't understood the doctrines, which is quite right to say, we have a man in heaven. But we do. Exalted. We do not separate him from the God, Jesus Christ, either. But we also have a man in heaven. Exalted for the same for the sake of the church. Now, church as a body, the church now as a body of Christ, I am in him. A member of his mystical body. What is true of him is true of me. So we have Christ now. So the church is a member of his mystical body. And if we are in him, we are in Christ. And what pertains to Christ pertains to us as well. Because we are in Christ, we share our Lord's exalted position in glory. Do you follow me now? Because we are in Christ, we share our exalted position in glory. Now, it's true of us now. We do not avail ourselves of it, sadly. We try to sever ourselves from the mystic body. But this is a foolish thing to do. And to verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We cannot separate the head from the body. The head is Christ of this mystic body. And we are part of that. And everything that he has, we have. All right? Now begin to enter something. Even now, with the right hand directing us for you, in him we are safe. Our destiny is secure. Now, the head of the church, a striking picture helps us to convey the truth. The church as a body of Christ. This describes how we belong. We are in this body of Christ, this mystic union. So when we came to Christ, and where we were predestined by the grace of God to do so, when we came to Christ, we were part of something. You could say you were part of a country or whatever you like to think of, but we became part of him. Joined, united to Christ, every part, name part, a complete whole. We belong to him. It is a spiritual, mystical unity. We belong to the body of Christ. The church, which is his body, he is the head. We are the body. You do not separate them. He is the head, the source and center of life to the church. No part which is not controlled. We have no life apart from him. Now, do you see what variations there are of the Christian faith? People say doctrine is not important. They're very foolish people. But many people say that because maybe they do not want to. You see, this is doctrine. But if you look at it, he's telling me I'm part of Christ. Now, you would know that without doctrine. Do you see? Doctrine is teaching. You know, that's the wonderful thing about it. See, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's doctrine. It's teaching. And here we are told something quite wonderful. We have no life apart from him. That's doctrine, but it's teaching. So you ask yourself in the morning, who am I? I am in Christ. And all that God has given in Christ is for me and is in me. Potentially so. It is in me. The Son of God as God was always on the right hand of God, Father Almighty. But when all this was completed on earth and he humbled himself, well then, now then, he completed it by making this mystic union of us in him, and that is exalted. So where you are tonight, if you're a believer, you are on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. That's who you are. That's who you are. Now then, do we exercise this? This life, every part, to every member, coordination, this is a unity of the Spirit with us. And yet, responsibility. Every movement of hand or muscle activity, we have our individual responsibility. When you think of an ordinary body, say the head now is Christ, and this little finger is being rebellious. It affects the whole body. You can't say, well, I give parts of it to Christ, but I'm not going to submit. I'm not going to do his will. Why should I? I got a very busy whatever, you know. And you try to sever yourself from the mystic body of Christ. If you try that, it's merely proof you were never there. So that we are really in a wonderful position. Individual responsibility, however, in each member, I will be an obedient hand. My fingers will obey the hand. My hand will obey the arm. The arm, the remainder of my body is ruled by Jesus, the head. We are in that mystic union now. So what Christ has is for us and in us now. So our behavior, because of that, should be absolutely phenomenal. Our place, our part in the body, brought by grace. The Spirit-inspiring activity, individually, corporately, we belong. So, collectively as a church, we move ahead as one. As one. Well, you know as well as I do. We all have little accidents sometimes, and I've had some recently. So when anything goes wrong, it affects the whole posture of the body. It spoils it all. If it's refusing to do this and so on. So it needs attention, really. So it's here. That is where, how blessed are the brethren who dwell together in discord. All right? In bickering, quarreling, and picking. No, but in unity. in unity. And I had to, and you had to look in your own heart. Am I in the body? Am I obeying the head? Am I using the attributes that God has allowed Jesus the Son, had the attributes there to be mine? Yes, they are yours. There is nothing you cannot overcome. Nothing. It's because we do not use it. We fail and stumble and get miserable. Now, the hope of the church which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's us again, look. The church which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In Colossians 2:9, we are told, all the fullness of the body, of all the fullness of God, had dwells in him. Sorry, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in him. Now we are told, in the same way, the fullness of the Son is in the church, which is you. The fullness of the body of Christ is in the church. And in you, and in me. So we should then be able to say, I can overcome. I am able to. The greatest battles are the battles that rage in our thinking and our emotions. So you can say there's no need. There is no need. All I need to do is to cooperate with the unity of the mystic union of Christ. Now, that is, all the attributes and powers and graces of the Lord Jesus Christ are in us. And listen to that, by some great man. That is, all the attributes and powers and graces of the Lord Jesus Christ, all his attributes, all of them, and graces that are in the Lord Jesus Christ are in us. In us. Members of his body. We are part, in another part of scripture, it's told, we are partakers of the divine nature. Now, this may mean really sometimes when I think, well, I need to tidy myself up. I need to go to wash. I need to consider my position. Am I fitting well into this mystic union? How am I? Am I able to? And then God would tell you, of course you are. Cooperate. Cooperate. The Lord Jesus Christ are in us. We are members of his body. Partakers of the divine nature. That's in scripture. We are partakers of the divine nature. We are partakers of the divine nature. Someone said, well, I've got my own nature. You are a partaker, as a Christian, of his divine nature. You're a partaker of the divine nature of God. So that makes us extraordinary. Extraordinary. We're unconquerable. And whatever may come, and there's a great deal of animosity against evangelical Christians or reformed people and so on, and they will fight even inwardly sometimes, all this doctrine, all this, that, another. And the other church, I say, too much feeling, too much. Well, it's all there. This is a book of doctrine. This is a book of teaching. But the teaching doesn't remain there. Applied by the Holy Spirit, it's brought to me and brought to you. And when we come into a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we become part of this great miracle. We are partakers of the divine nature. He gives energy necessary for our part. If you like, you could put it like this. I'm an elbow. And that's your part then, you know. If you want to put it like that, but you can put it as a totality as well. We have various functions. They're all to the glory of God. Without him, we can do nothing. Now, a person may be a preacher or an elder or whatever we call them, deacons and so on, or overseers, or so many words. Without him, we can do nothing. You may have written a book on doctrine, but without him, you can do nothing. Truth is applied doctrine. All right? If you do not know what you believe, well, how can you feel anything if you do not know what it is? I've heard many people argue against certain teachings, but they've never read a book on it, never read anything, and yet they're experts in criticism. I can do, says Philippians, Paul speaking, I can do all things. It does seem a strange thing. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, I think I mentioned a long time ago, one of the old Welsh preachers, but dramatic, took his glasses off, cleaned them. He said, I think Paul's made a mistake here. He said, he's boasting that he can do all things. But wait a moment, there's more to it. He's not on his own. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. So we are able. So you can take that into every situation you like. If you're feeling down and so on, or whatever it is, you can rise above your circumstances. Of course you can. We're special. We're special. We are people of God. Some have a very difficult personality and want to change. You can. You can. Some people are touchy and they want to change and they can. Some people are sarcastic and they really in their hearts want to change. They can. They can. How can we draw on the attributes of Christ that are in you? Because they are very, very powerful. We are tempted by Satan. We endeavor to disengage ourselves sometimes and become fruitless and feel weak. But I am a member of his body, the Lord Jesus Christ, in him. Always progressing in my enlightenment. Always going on. Never being still. Everything you have is of no importance as compared to your relationship to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The fullness of all in all. Now, in a sense, the eternal Son was self-sufficient. Now, listen to this carefully. In one sense, I mentioned really briefly, the eternal Son of God was self-sufficient. Of course he had a place on the right hand anyway. And in a sense, has no need of us. But in another way, think the Lord Jesus Christ as mediator, as God-man, who performed redemption and presents us to God the Father, in that sense, he's joined to the body. He needs us because we are part of the fullness. So here you have the Lord Jesus Christ as God. Here we have as man. In a way, they're inseparable, but you can say there they are. He is exalted from eternity, but he humbles himself and lives as a man and does all these things. Now, the complete fullness is not really full until this one is exalted with him. That's you. That's me. That's how special we are. Now, do you feel special? If you don't, you should. A day coming when the church will be complete, then the fullness of the Gentiles will come in, the fullness of Israel will have been saved. We are an essential part of the fullness of the mystical body, and that he raises on the right hand of God the Father Almighty with God the Son. Application. We were in Adam, we are now in Christ. He is the head, we are the parts. Crucified with Christ, the old man was in Adam crucified. Crucified with him, buried with him, risen with him. Colossians 3 verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Romans 6 1, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And because the mystical union, Ephesians 2, 5 and 6, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with him. By grace I saved, and hath raised us up together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because the mystical union, we are there. We live in this consciousness. So we ask our Lord, I want thy fullness. I want thy attributes. I want them to be effective in my life. And I'll tell you something. How do you get it? By going down. Not by exalting yourself. Not by putting yourself as somebody. But realizing these important words. I am only a forgiven sinner. You qualify. You qualify. What would you do with a proud person? Nothing. Nothing. What will you do with a humble person? Everything. Everything. Some say, we do it all. Some say, let go and let God. Both are wrong. He is a power working in us. We exercise a new confidence. We are told in one verse in Philippians, work out your own salvation. It does say in fear and trembling, because we appear before, not we are safe as far as the judgment of God is concerned, but it's also the assessment of the judgment seat of Christ, where we are answerable for our Christian life, from when we were born again, from when we to when we die. So that also has to be explained. Now, in that verse, he is working. Work out your own salvation. That is the implications of your salvation. In fear and trembling. With profound respect. Because you're answerable for how you used the attributes of Christ as part of the mystical body. But how can I do it? But it is God that worketh you new, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. This brings supreme assurance and a greater realization. His call, his heaven, his power. In our hearts, there should spring a glorious hope. So we all go through emotions of being down and up and so on. But we have to look at Scripture. And what Scripture is saying to us, call on my son. Be lifted up above your circumstances. Above your circumstances. Let me finish with an illustration that I've given many times, but such a wonderful one. I had to break the news to a lady who was in hospital that her son and his wife had been killed with the children left alive. And she quietly looked at me and said, I submit to the will of God. Will you pray with me now? All right. Are you there? Are you there? I submit to the will of God. Then this one hymn, this is the last stanza of it. Work on then, Lord, progressive enlightenment. Work on then, Lord, till on my soul eternal light shall break, and in thy likeness perfected, I satisfied shall wake. Is that lovely? That's who we are. And that's where we're going. Be honest with God. All of us, be honest with God.